This week on Vox Talks, helping parents to help their children. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Language skills for preschoolers are a strong predictor of their later academic performance, but some parents are better than others at helping their kids develop these skills. An experiment in the disadvantaged areas of the city of Paris has pointed to ways in which we can do a better job at helping many parents to develop their children's language abilities at an early age. And the difference between this experiment and the many policy initiatives that look similar but have had very different results also shows us that how social policy is delivered can make the difference between success and failure. Two of the authors who performed this experiment join me today from Sciences Po in Paris, Denis Fougère, who is a CEPR fellow and an economist, and Carlo Baroni, who is a sociologist. Welcome to Vox Talks, both of you.
Hello, Tim.
Hello, team.
Denis, what are these early language skills that I was talking about that we're seeking to develop?
The development of reading and writing skills starts well before formal instruction, during the preschool years, say, well, between age 3 and 5, essentially. These skills include vocabulary, what we call phonological awareness, and knowledge of print, which are the main precursors of literacy skills. In our field experiment, the one that we have presented in this discussion paper of the CPR series, we focus more precisely on the child's receptive vocabulary. We know that reliable measures of receptive vocabulary are available for children age 4. And this measure can be obtained, for instance, by using a well-known test, the Peabody Picture Vocabulary Test, which has been adapted by ourselves for our specific experiment.
And I said in the introduction that these skills predict academic success when kids get to school. Are we sure that this is a good predictor?
Okay, many studies in educational science, psychology, and also social sciences have shown that early language skills are strong predictors of later school success. So, when children enter primary schools, primary education, and must learn reading, having a larger vocabulary is clearly relevant to decode the words more easily, and especially the capability to associate letters and sound.
We know also that shared book reading, which I think is what your experiment about, parents, reading a book together with the parents, we know that this helps provide this sort of early development that you're measuring here?
The benefits of shared book reading between parents and children are a matter of consensus among educational experts. Why? Because storybooks are much richer in vocabulary than any competing activity at home, since they mobilize different language registers. Shared book reading is expected to foster the child's vocabulary, also a knowledge of print convention, attention span, narrative and reasoning skills. We know also that shared book reading in early childhood correlates with reading habits and reading enjoyment later on, which in turn predict academic performance. But... the open question is whether it is possible to foster shared book reading by means of information intervention. For instance, a meta-analysis done by Carlo, in fact, has recently reported evidence that 30 experiments on the impact of such interventions, most programs failed to produce significant positive effect. Only one methodology, which is called dialogic reading, which is essentially a reading practice using picture books to enhance, to improve literacy and language skills. So one methodology is associated with systematically positive impact.
Carlo, we also know that some parents spend a lot of time on shared book reading and some do not. What do we know about the differences between the parents and about the parents who are not sitting down to read with their children?
So certainly the main predictor of parents reading a storybook to their children is the level of education of the parents. So just to give you one number that I think conveys this message, in our study in the Paris metropolitan area, 64% of parents with a tertiary degree declare reading to their children on a regular daily basis, as opposed to only 14% among the parents who have basic education, so basically primary and lower secondary education. So the gap in reading frequency is huge. And this is not specific to the French case. This is a pretty general pattern that has been observed many, many other times. So parental education and the occupational situation of the parents are strong predictors of the frequency of this activity. Why is it the case? Well, first of all, of course, more educated parents have higher incomes, lower risks of material deprivation, unemployment, economic instability, employment instability, economic insecurity, which in turn impact on parental distress. Now, we know that parental distress is one of the main determinants of parental involvement in their children's school success. So basically, the low educated and more economically deprived sections of the population are exposed to a number of risk factors reducing their propensity to invest in their children's human capital. That is one element. And then, of course, you have a broad constellation of cultural factors, like the cultural resources of the parents. Of course, for immigrant parents, language barriers represent additional hurdles on the top of purely economic or psychosocial factors. The working hypothesis that guided our study is that on the top of these cultural and economic barriers, there are also some specific information barriers. By information barriers, we mean that low-educated parents are less aware that what happens at home is so relevant for the success of their children at school, and that informal, playful activity at home can foster the educational opportunities of their children. And why are low-educated parents less aware of this? Simply because we know from evidence collected in a number of countries that low-educated parents collect less information on effective parenting practices. So, for instance, there's survey evidence on the extent to which parents consult, read blogs, newspaper articles, books on effective parenting. This is much more common among high-educated parents. So the idea is that maybe if we give information to low-educated parents, we can enhance their propensity to read to their children and will foster their school success.
Yeah, so these policies to promote shared reading look to be potentially extremely effective at closing that gap that you're talking about. It would seem to be a no-brainer. At the moment, how are these interventions working?
Let me talk about the French case, which, by the way, I think is not that exceptional in the international context. I can say attention to raising the opportunities of school success for the children and reducing the related social inequalities ranks quite highly in the political agenda of the French government. So there's a number of important and costly initiatives that have been recently developed to foster the school success of children, and in particular, the school success of disadvantaged children. So you may have heard that under the presidency of Mr. Macron, the size of classes in primary education has been halved. So a very huge investment targeting specifically disadvantaged schools. Children attending schools in disadvantaged areas can stay longer in the afternoon to receive additional support. Now, in a sense, the common denominator of all these activities is that they tend to be school-based. In a sense, they tend to assume that all that can be done involves school-based interventions, while it is pretty difficult to invest in parenting, to change the practices of parents. It's as if the practices of parents could not be modified, so let's try to have children spending most of their time in a school environment of better quality. So at the national level, parenting interventions are pretty underdeveloped.
Is this focus on school-based interventions the main reason why, as Denise said, the results so far have been disappointing?
I think there are multiple reasons, even when scholars have tried to focus on parenting interventions. Some of these studies haven't been able to prove effective, positive results on children's skills. Some of these reasons are mainly methodological. For instance, some of these studies were based on small samples, so they had maybe not enough statistical power to detect the impacts. Even if there were significant positive impacts, possibly the study was based on a sample that was too small to detect these impacts. Now, our study is based on a large sample, more than 1,800 cases, so this is the first reason. However, there were also studies with large samples that failed to detect evidence of positive impact. So the explanation is not only methodological. To summarize my view on why previous interventions may have failed, I think that there are two kinds of constraints to the efficacy of these interventions. On one side, if you target highly educated parents, we know, as we said before, that they already read very often to their children. Mm-hmm. So there is a kind of ceiling effect reducing the potential impacts of these interventions. On the other side, whenever you target low-educated disadvantaged families, you are faced with all the other kinds of hurdles to parental involvement, the socioeconomic deprivation, the limited cultural resources, the language barriers for immigrant children. So you see there are obstacles on both sides, on both extremes of the social hierarchy, which reduce the potential impact of these interventions. So in a sense, what can be done? Maybe the most promising approach, or at least the approach that we try to tackle, is targeting low-educated families and to try to take into account the hurdles that we have just mentioned when designing our intervention.
You designed your own experiment to investigate this, and you focused your intervention in some of the more disadvantaged areas of Paris. How did you go about this to avoid these problems and pitfalls of the other interventions that Carlo was talking about?
As Carlo said, first, we were aware that the key ingredient for us was to focus on the accessibility of treatment contents for disadvantaged parents. That's the main, in a sense, the main added value of our experiment. And that's why, in a first stage, before conducting the whole experiment, we ran a pilot study. And that pilot study shown that school meetings with parents in the schools, face-to-face interviews, if you prefer, would result in a low attendance of disadvantaged parents for different reasons. They don't come to this interview, or they come less frequently than advantaged parents who are more involved, in a sense. And so this type of interviews, if you prefer, that are run in many studies, in many experiments, in fact, generate a strong bias towards more educated parents because they are more present in this interview. So we had to find another way to reach the disadvantaged parents. Okay, we decided to deliver the main information contents with one flyer per week. That flyer used a very simple language for the parents and could be read in 2 minutes, no more, 2 or 3 minutes. Okay, a very simple flyer with pictures, simple words, and try to be as effective as possible in that flyer. Secondly, to be sure that the flyer was read by the parent, we hired 4 interviewers to reach each family with a short phone call, very short, summarizing the main contents of the flyers first, and then encouraging parents to read the flyers. So that's the second distinctive element of our experiment. And third, we knew that the French language could be a barrier for immigrant parents. So faced to that problem, we adopted 2 expedients. First, the phone calls could be delivered in 4 languages. French, Arabic, English, and Spanish. Second, we selected books with limited text and several images that parents could use to tell the story even without reading the full text, you know. An immigrant parent talking mainly Arabic or English could tell the story by looking at the pictures. You know, these books are really, really simple. And then even if the words are not pronounced in French, I mean, the idea of the story could be understood by the child. Then finally, we organized a book loan, but within the class. So the teachers, in general, were very, very likely to participate in this experiment. We didn't have refusals by the teachers. They were really positive about that. So they received a selection of 18 titles, excellent books, completely new, and children could choose one book per week, say on the Friday, for instance, right? And children thus came back home with a project bag containing the weekly flyer for the parent and the book. Moreover, we sent a weekly text message during the third and the fourth month of the intervention. Hence, during 4 months, families received storybooks together with regular information through flyers, phone calls, text messages. And I think that this information part, I would say, of the experiment is probably the most effective component of it, because giving book to parents is not sufficient. You have to give incentives to the parents and explain them how it is important to read this book effectively with the child.
So many things different there, but as you say, the dominant one is to not make this a one shot. You're creating an environment where all the time this is being updated. Did you see different effects compared to the other interventions that you talked about?
Yes. First, as Carlo said, many experiments before our experiments were based on small samples. Mm. On average, 100 cases. So the first thing for us was to reach statistical power, you know, statistically significant effects. So we choose to have very large sample of, as Carlo said, 1,700 children, mainly living in disadvantaged areas of Paris. Okay, what about the results? First, we observe that the intervention increased shared book reading frequency by the parents. We think that it has been increased due to the information given to the parents. And we observe that for the treatment group because it's a randomized experiment. So the positive effects are on children's vocabulary. You have four pictures. You say, where is the rocket? Where is the child? Where is the dog? Etc., etc. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we can have a score. And we observe positive effects by this standardized test scores. So we have a measure, precise measure, of the increase in the vocabulary. And what is interesting is that these effects that we have measured 4 months after the beginning of the intervention were still persistent 6 months after the intervention. So we cannot talk about a long-term effect, but a medium-term effect of the intervention, for sure. 6 months is not so short, you know. And what is interesting also, intervention was more effective among low-educated families. As Carlo said, we know that in general, more educated families read frequently with the children. They have books at home, etc. They have the habit of reading. We focus on low-educated families. We observe that the difference between the treatment group and the control group is really positive and statistically significant. And also it was as effective among immigrant families, at least those who have, I would say, a medium knowledge of French language. Mm-hmm. We observed that the intervention was as effective as among native families of the same socioeconomic background.
Carlo, these programs are going on all over the world at the moment. Could the methodological improvements that you've come up with here be applied to any of them to help their policies become more effective?
We are confident that our intervention methodology can be applied in different countries. The issue that we are targeting is the same everywhere. That is to say, low-educated parents read less often storybooks to their children. This has been found to be valid everywhere in the world, because the barriers that we target, that is to say the lack of information, the lack of awareness about the potential of shared book reading, is also a mechanism operating very generally. And finally, because we think that fostering accessibility to this information, which is the key element driving the impact of our intervention, is also a problem that tends to be quite general across contexts. The problem that low-educated families have higher problems, higher hurdles to access and benefit from this kind of information. So because the mechanisms and the barriers that we are targeting are similar across countries, we think that the impacts could be positive also elsewhere. This said, of course, this needs to be demonstrated rather than just simply assumed, and that is why we have a follow-up experiment Italy currently, and where we try to replicate our results. Also doing this no more among children aged 4, but with younger children aged 2 or 3 years old. So children attending childcare centers.
And Carlo, this really does seem to give us an insight into when you're designing these policies, these interventions, knowing about the lives of the people that you're trying to help and having some empathy with the problems that they experience, it really matters, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's this expression in English, French and Italian, the devil is in the detail, which actually explains why we have lots of ideas to improve children's learning, to reduce the related inequalities, but ultimately, many of these ideas may fail because of a poor implementation, which is actually why having good experimental evidence, solid randomized controlled trials is so important to design effective policies. So let me give you just one example that we learned, by the way, in the preparation stage by talking with the teachers, because as we said before, some schools actually have book loan projects and some teachers have learned a lot on how to make these interventions effective. So what is the main motivation to persuade a parent reading a storybook to their child? Some of the teachers told us, well, one important thing you can do, one important thing I do, and I feel it works, is that you let the children choose the books. Mm. Because if the child chooses the book that he's going to read, he will be more interested in it. And then he will go back home and ask his or her parents to read the book. Mm. And that is what really motivates the parents. We know by many experiments in psychology and behavioral economics that the simple fact of choosing something fosters your interest and your motivation.
Well, this sounds like it has huge potential value. Good luck with the experiment that you're doing in Italy at the moment. Denis and Carlo, thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
The paper is called Social Origins, Shared Book Reading and Language Skills in Early Childhood, Evidence from an Information Experiment. And the authors are Carlo Barone, Denis Fougère and Clément Pin. And it's CEPR Discussion Paper 14006. There's also a Vox EU column with the same authors called Fostering the Language Skills of Children from Low-Educated Families that explains a lot of what they did in this experiment and sets out some of the results. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode and check out the archive at voxeu.org/vox-talks.